Let's go to John 3:16. And then we'll go to John 13:34 and 35. I'm going to share that out of the Amplified Bible. Dan, if you would you just dim the stage lights a little? Because up full, my glasses will start to slide right off. Let's read verse 16 together in John 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay. In John 13, 34, verse 34 and 35 in the Amplified Bible, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Now, would you go please to Genesis 1? While we were on vacation, as we often do, you know, we on the Sunday that I'm off, we you know, tend to go to church with our children. And we did that this time. We went to Living Word, a Christian church in White Plains. This fellowship with Vicky and our grandchildren and Pastor Ray. You know, Pastor Ray and I are developing a friendship. As a matter of fact, I'm having lunch with him tomorrow. And he was teaching on John 15. And he was teaching on it in terms of conditions, you know, to receive. And as he was teaching, the Holy Ghost was giving me notes, but it didn't have anything to do with what he was teaching. He took me in another direction using the verses in John 15. And I got excited about it, but as always happens, when I sit down to study it out and to just record notes, I sit down and he said to me, okay, go to Genesis. And I'm like, go to Genesis? I thought we were talking about John 15. And he said, I know what I'm talking about. Go to Genesis, all right? So we went to Genesis 1, and we're going to read a very, very familiar passage. Let's read verses 26 through 28 together in Genesis 1. Are you there? Let's read it. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, did you ever wonder why God chose to make man in his image and after his likeness? And I had never thought about it until I was studying this out. You know, it's just that that's what he did, so it was like, fine. But he had to do it for a reason. See, who spoke and made the earth? Whose voice did the earth respond to? All right, so God made everything to respond to his voice. But then he made man to have what? Dominion. So that means when man spoke, earth had to hear whose voice? No, he had to hear God's voice. Okay? When earth saw man, earth had to see a reflection of God. And this way, when man speaks, earth is like, hey, that's God. I got to do this because God is speaking. The problem is, because man was placed in this earth, God had to know. Well, I'll ask you. Since man was assigned to operate in this earth, is it possible, since God knew the earth, that Adam and Eve, you know, they were going to miss it and bring sin in, and did God know, or did God assume, that some of the stuff in the earth might stick to his man? I mean, think about that. Man is operating in this earth. Man is exposed to all of the elements and everything going on in the earth. Is it possible that some of it could rub off? Yes, it is. When Vicky went to College of William and Mary, she was there a few months. We started talking to her. She had a southern drawl. I mean, it was the funniest thing to hear it. Because now she's living intimately in the South. And she just picked up their dialect. I don't even think she was aware of it. Just picked it up. Okay. Well, if we're not mindful, just because we're operating, that's why, you know, to be in the world but not of the world. But things start sticking. And God knew that. And so he had to have come up with something to counteract, because he knew that a contamination, if you will, would try and move in and contaminate his man. And he did not want that to happen. See, all of our behaviors, everything that we ever do, everything that we say, should always reflect the Godhead. Because that's whose image we're made in, whose likeness we're made in. So everything we do, everything we say, should just scream out, we're God. I mean, that's what it is. You say, well, I can't say I'm God. Well, Philippians said that Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We're made the same way. We have to stop thinking it's robbery to be equal. And we have to do the same thing he did, make ourselves of no reputation and don't get big heads and things, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But everything, we should be exact replicas. And so God had to come up with a way to keep us formed and fashioned in his image and after his likeness. Because if that authority isn't seen, realized, and respected, your authority won't mean a thing. And if you want an example of that, look at the seven sons of Sceva. They said all the right things. Didn't have a clue. Didn't have an understanding. Didn't believe. And guess who knew that? The demonic spirit. And so that was in the earth. Well, man is supposed to have dominion over everything that moves in the earth. That spirit was in the earth. But the seven sons of Sceva couldn't do anything with that spirit, even though they said the right things. Well, the times we say the right things, and that thing just looks at us like, yeah, now what? Okay. And then we panic. We don't have a plan B. We don't know what happened, and so our thought process goes to, well, maybe this word doesn't always work. And we just fall deeper and deeper in the doubt pit. And we don't understand what's happening. See, we have to be in position to receive everything that's necessary for be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion, and subdue it. If we're not in the right position, nothing can start. No, for example, would you help me out? Can I put you to work, Dante? All right. Just a little illustration. First time I saw this, I think it was our brother Robin Gould showed it. Okay, we're going to just illustrate a little baseball setting. Okay, you a good pitcher? Okay, well, are you better pitcher or catcher?
Soccer.
Oh, Well, we're not going to do a soccer analogy. Not enough room. And, okay. Well, you'll be the pitcher. You'll be the catcher. We're thinking we want to be the batter. Okay? Okay. I'll be the umpire. Okay? We're in the batter. Well, he's a catcher. He's a catcher. Whichever way you want. Okay? All right, so we're getting ready to start the game, right? Okay, but we can't get things going yet. We can't get, come on, the pitcher's on the mound, the batter's in the batter's box. Why can't we get this game started? Right? The pitcher's in position. The batter's in position. You're not in position. Okay? See? Okay? But before the umpire can say play ball, everybody has to be in the right position. Dante, he was in place, but he wasn't in position. So everything that's going to happen during the game can't even begin if all the participants are not in position. That's all we're going to go. Thank you. Okay? All right. Thank you. All right. See, we receive Christ as Savior. That put us in the right place. We're all in the right place. We're not all in the right positions. And so what God has for us can't even begin until we all get in the right positions. And there are things that, the thing that he put in place to get us in the right position and help us stay in the right position is pruning. I mean, it's just pruning. All right, let's go to John 15. I started seeing this, and God showed me things I never thought about concerning this chapter. John 15, beginning with verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, every branch where? So that must mean that there's some branches that are not in him. Okay. He said, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Right? So we start out in good shape because of the word that he spoke. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. I need to stop there for a minute. The branch, in order to bear fruit, has to be connected to a vine. Okay. To a vine. If we are not connected to the vine, we're going to be connected to the other vine, and we're going to bear the fruit of the other vine. See, we need to understand we're never just out there by ourselves. We're going to be connected to something. Jesus is letting us know, really, we should be connected to who? To him. Okay. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now, a couple of things. Pruning, by definition, is the removal or reduction of parts of a plant or tree or vine that are uncalled for. Think about that. They're uncalled for. They're not necessary to growth or production. They're no longer visually pleasing, or they're detrimental to the overall health and development of the plant. Detrimental. There are some things about us that are detrimental to our overall health and well-being spiritually. I mean, let's just put naturally on the side. But spiritually, there's some overgrowth. There's some things there that are just uncalled for. And it's blocking us from being in position, and we're not manifesting, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. We're not doing it. Because we haven't allowed pruning, when we approach things, they're not seeing, they're not hearing God. They're seeing and hearing us. And they don't have to listen to us being us. It doesn't have to listen to it. So we'll do things, we'll say things, and we'll wonder why this is not happening. I spoke the word. I believe. But I'm not seeing any results. And we think the fault lies with the word. And we don't realize that it could be that we are out of position. And I have to say could be, because some of the things that we speak to and we don't get, it's not the devil, it's God, because he's not ready for us to have it, or he's pruning. But we're quick to say something doesn't go the way we think it should, and we immediately say, well, it's the devil. I don't know. Every time I minister anywhere, this verse always comes in. Okay. How can the devil stop anything concerning us when God, when Jesus said he gave us power over all the power of the devil? How can it stop us? That's like snow trying to stop a snowplow. Okay? But here's the key. Thank you, Lord. See, he uses life things. You know, Deacon Phillips would tell our children, look, whatever you tell Dad, you need to realize it could wind up being a message. Okay. But it's not just with children, it's with me. But I think so. If we had this $40,000 snowplow, big, powerful F-350. And we have the snowstorm, and the Holy Ghost says, go and see how things are going. And I go up there, and we go in our edge. Okay. And I'm driving through the snow. It's about 4.5 inches of snow. I'm driving like it's nothing. And I get to the church, and I don't see any evidence of the snow being moved. And I'm like, where are they? I'm looking at the time. I'm like, they should have this lot clear. So I drive around back. Well, maybe they got there late. And as I drive around, I hear, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing this $40,000 piece of equipment, and the rear tires are spinning. Now I'm in an edge, okay? And I'm driving through it like, put this plow on my car, you know? Even though they were in this big, powerful truck, they didn't have the locking caps in position. So they were just spinning their wheels. And it seemed like the snow was prevailing, okay? And I said, guys, did you read the manual? First of all, they didn't have the setting on the dashboard. Wasn't set to 4x4. That was the first issue. In that truck, there are four electrical connections for you to add different things to. They pushed number four. I said, why'd you do that? Well, I figured four by four. Honestly, you want to go, what's the matter with you? I said, that's not how you put it in 4x4. See this lever right here in the middle of the floor? it had the diagram on the knob. It's in 4x4. And they said, well, we did that, and the wheels are still spinning. I said, went out, and I said, did you lock these rims? Huh? Let me show you something. Locked that rim, went around the other side, locked that rim. I got in the car, put it in gear, hit the accelerator, just went. Did like lap around, moved the snow myself. First time I ever drove a plow in my life. Okay, moved the snow, got out of the car and was like, guys, read the book. It'll tell you how to get in position so that all the power that's available to you will work. When we don't allow pruning, we're not in position. And it doesn't matter how powerful, you know, what our capabilities are. If we're not in position, if we're not locked in, we're not going to move anything. And it was like the snow was prevailing against this truck. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But we look at things and we say, why does it appear like the enemy has a stronghold here? I thought the gates of hell not supposed to prevail against the church. Well, if the church isn't locked in position, that's the appearance it'll have, because now the gates of hell don't respect the church, because the church is just spinning its wheels. That's all, just spinning its wheels. I mean, you can walk around. I mean, I've never done it, and I hope you never do it. If you're in the country and you find yourself somewhere in Texas and you see this ranch with fence around it, see these big Brahma bulls in there, and you open the fence and the thing just stands there and looks at you, you're going to get bold. You're going to get bold. Problem is, when that thing, he's looking at you to try and he's posturing, he's saying, look, I be a bull. Okay, I'm giving you a chance to close the gate and leave me alone. So we'll start, and the enemy will just stop, because he'll see us and he's like, okay, do they really know who they are? Because I'm looking at what they're doing and they don't appear to be in position, because if they were in position, they wouldn't be doing this. So he starts advancing. You see him advancing, and you become spiritual. We say, well, I become righteously indignant. Okay? You can be as righteously indignant as you want if you're not locked in position. Okay? I mean, that's what, and so we just wind up, and we say, it is written! And the enemy looks at you and says, I know it is, but you sure don't. Okay, I mean, because we have some stuff with us that God didn't intend. See, pruning keeps us fashioned in the image and likeness of God and ensures that we are properly positioned to receive, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion, and subdue it. Now, subdue it is just a fancy, nice way, or nice, fancy way of saying control it. So when we look at things out of control on this planet, it's not the fault of the enemy, it's the fault of the church. Because God commanded his man to take control of this planet. God commanded his man to have dominion over everything that moves upon the face of this planet. But we'll sit back and we'll allow things to go on and won't do anything about it. And say, well, you know, the Bible says when sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Yeah, it does say that. But what we fail to realize is talking about the grace that we have to do what we were put here to do. Subdue. Have dominion. But we just have stuff that get in the way that God needs to prune away. He started pruning things with me before I even started serving him. And I didn't know what was going on. I never desired to be a professional athlete until people started telling me that I should be. And then folks started offering me stuff, and I would hear myself say no. And I mean, I was giving moral reasons. You know, even though I wasn't a saint, I was still a sinner. And even as a sinner, I had a hint of morality. I mean, there's some lines I just wasn't willing to cross. And so I would use that as a reason for not going where folks wanted me to go or signing what people wanted me to sign. But then I'm like, I don't understand this. Why isn't this happening? I didn't know God was pruning that away from me because it wasn't part of his plan. And had I gone down that path, I would no longer be in his image and his likeness. I would have become something entirely different and would have never fulfilled his purpose for my life. But look at this, the purposes for pruning. And this I got, I read several online articles about horticulture and pruning and everything just to get a sense of this. Because I think there must be a reason why God used that term. The purposes of pruning, number one, to train the plant. I never associated pruning and training, but it's to train the plant. Because the plant, something, they may want to go in this direction. You say, nope, can't go there. You may go, now I'm going to go, nope, can't go. You say, you know what? That hurts. I'm going to go here. And we say, yeah, that's fine. You can go there. All right, just train the plant. To maintain plant health. Because when the plant gets all overgrown, every part of it can't receive light. And if there's no light, what is it in? Darkness. And stuff grows in darkness. And if it's not pruned away, part of that vine will die, and it may affect the rest of the plant. So it has to be pruned away just to maintain its health. When you prune, it improves the quality of the fruit. There's some plants that Deacon Phyllis ordered that we have to plant tomorrow. And because it says you don't plant them if the temperature is going to drop below 30 degrees. And oddly enough, we had a couple of frost warnings, so we said we'd just wait until next week. But in reading the little thing, the pamphlet that came with the plants, said when they first start to bud, you prune them off. And then it says it's going to grow much more healthier, fuller blooms. Okay, why? Because you prune them. Now, if you don't prune them, it'll be okay. But if you really want them to pop, got to prune them. That takes a little more work. It's like, why can't you put them in the ground? And you see, I know no one here ever does this, but I've been known to do it. I would rationalize. Okay, I know you guys don't do it, but, you know, just pray for me. Okay. Because I'm like, hey, in Matthew, the Bible says, consider the lilies of the field. Nobody prunes them. And look how beautiful they are. So why can't you just leave me alone? Because I'll be like them. Okay. No, it works for them because they're wild. Okay. I don't be a wildflower. Okay. But the fourth reason why God prunes, and I never in my wildest imagination would have thought of this one, to restrict growth. And you're like, well, why wouldn't God want us to grow? You know why? I'll tell you next Sunday. That's a next Sunday one. But one of the most sobering thoughts that I've ever had, I had recently while preparing to teach this in Nanuet. Brother Copeland came. It was back in 1985. And he had this prophecy. And part of the prophecy was where God said through him, I will make this place greater than the church in Seoul, Korea, if you let me. That was what he prophesied. About 2 years later, Brother Dick Mills came to the church, and he had a prophecy. He said, there's a purging, pruning, polishing, perfecting and purifying taking place. To the flesh, it is painful, but to the overall body, it is the key to power. And I started thinking, why did God send him here to say that? Now it's coming together. God wants to make this place greater than the Church of Seoul, Korea. That's by his mouth, not our desire. But in order to do that, there's a pruning that has to take place. Obviously, God had to look at this place, and he realized there's some things about this place that aren't healthy. There are some things that are that they're just growing too quickly. And I have to prune this away so this place will get to the place that I've spoken concerning it. That's what God wants to do. He wants us to realize every single thing he's ever spoken about us. And in order to do that, we're going to have to submit to his pruning. See, again, I would sometimes, I've been known to be impatient. I know it's hard to believe, but I've been impatient. Okay. I can tend to be argumentative. I mean, I'm just being straight with you. You know, there's some stuff with Pastor that had to be and has to be just cut away and pruned away because it's keeping me out of the position that God wants for me. It's keeping, and not doing it can be detrimental to my overall health. Just detrimental. So there's some things that I have to allow to be pruned, even though I may not want them pruned. We become very attached to things sometimes, because sometimes those things are our defense mechanisms. I've always been like this. Well, you've always been wrong. that's the way it is. You know, God knows how he made me. Yes, he did. He made you in his image and after his likeness. And this stuff that you're displaying now ain't in him. So he has to prune it away because he wants to keep us in his image. He wants to keep us after his likeness. He wants all the words that we say to be his words. The other thing he wants to prune from us is fear. Fear of what? Fear of anything. Why? Fear says, I don't have dominion and authority. This thing does. So that means God's a liar. Because God said, let them have dominion. And we're saying, no, that has dominion. I don't have dominion here. Lord, I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. God needs to snip that away. Because fear is not from him. How can we be made in his image and his likeness and demonstrate fear when it's not part of his nature? So he will prune those things away. How? By giving us opportunities to act courageously. I mean, let's go back to John 15. Because there are a couple of things there we want to show you today so we get a good understanding. Verse 1. Let's read it together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Why did Jesus say, why did he have to say, I'm the true vine? I mean, he's saying something here. He said, look, I'm the true vine. And so guess what I looked up? I looked up true. But before we go there, go to 1 John 4. And then we're going to go to 2 John 1. Then I'll tell you what true means. 1 John 4, verse 1, and I'm going to share that out of the Phillips translation. It says, don't trust every spirit, dear friends of mine. Okay. Don't trust every spirit, dear friends of mine, but test them to discover whether they come from God or not, for the world is full of false prophets. Okay. 2 John 1. It's in the Message Bible. I mean, this just puts it right out there. All right. There are a lot of smooth-talking charlatans loose in the world who refuse to believe that Jesus Christ was truly human, a flesh and blood being. Give them their true title, deceiver, Antichrist. See, so Jesus said, I'm the true vine. Or he could say, I'm the truth. You can, two sets of definitions. This is what the dictionary says. Being or reflecting the essential or genuine character of something. It's true. The concordance says that which has not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name. In other words, when something is the truth, all of his actions line up with what it says it is all of the time. See, when something is the truth, it's not the truth now and changes later. No matter what happens, it stays true to who it says it is. Not only has the name and respond, so Jesus is saying, well, let me read this. But the real nature corresponding to the name in every respect corresponding to the idea signified by the name. Real, true, genuine. See, so when you think about that, we go and we say to someone, I love you. I mean, I just love you. And then we don't get what we want. Okay. I don't have to finish that blank. You already know. But I love you. You need to walk around and say, yeah, right. Okay. Wrong. If they genuinely love you, it will always show. No matter what. Even if there's an agreement that needs to be reestablished, it's going to be evident that the love is still there. Period. So Jesus is saying he is the true vine, and he's letting us know, because this is the way the Holy Ghost gave it to me, he's letting us know that he not only has the name and resemblance, but he has the real nature that corresponds to the name in every respect. So he wants us to know, look, folks, I am really it. Really. I'm the real deal, folks, in looks, in words, and in actions. I am. If we're not pruned, we won't be able to receive that. When the Holy Ghost brought that thought to me, I was like, wow, I never thought of it that way. I have to be pruned so I can receive Jesus Christ for who he really is. So why do you have to be pruned? Because if not, doubt and unbelief will be there. That'll have logic will be there. That ought to be pruned away so that I can be in position now to really see and receive Christ for who he truly is. That's when the change will take place in me. Yesterday, Deacon Phillips and I were watching a clip of Donnie McClurkin interviewing Steve Harvey. What a testimony that brother has, boy, I'm telling you. But, and he was sharing, he had this way of introducing Jesus Christ. It really was funny. Some of you may have seen it. It's really funny. But he said, he was leery about doing it. I believe he was at Bishop Jake's church, at Megafest. And He said that, you know, Bishop Jakes, you know, believed in him, and that meant something to him. He said, that's the problem. He said, we know where folks were in the natural, and the believers won't come up and just believe in the person. Just believe that God can at least work in him what he worked in you. I mean, that's... But he said, when he did it, and then he got broken up and started crying, because he said, when he did it, he changed. Because when by saying it, he was reinforcing it in his spirit, this is who Christ is. And he said, it changed him just by doing that. So see, God had to prune away some stuff just so he could now be in position to receive that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says he is. Period. If the stuff wasn't pruned away, he wouldn't have received it. It's the same way with us, folks. There are things that we can't see because there's some stuff in the way that we have to allow God to prune so that we can clearly see. It's not enough that your eyes are open. I mean, anybody here, their eyes closed? No? Okay. Keep your eyes open. Take your hand and just go like this. Both hands. Just go like this. But keep your eyes open. All right? Keep your eyes open. What am I doing? Your eyes are open, though. Okay. All right. Okay, prune those hands away. Okay. Are your eyes still open? Can you see what I'm doing? Can you imitate me? Okay. Why can you imitate me? Because you can see me. So it's not enough that we say, well, my eyes are open. Yeah, but there's stuff in front of them. And we're not seeing clearly who we are supposed to be, so we can't imitate it. One of the natures of mammals is that mammals learn through observation. They have to see it. That's why, you know, we wonder, where do these children pick up these habits? From watching us. So God has to prune things away because he wants us to be able to receive who Jesus really is, so we'll be able to understand who we really are. That we're truly made in his image and after his likeness, and we'll start walking it out. Why? Because we can clearly see it. And because we clearly see it now, immediately our understanding has increased. So that word can no longer be snatched out of our hearts. Because we know, we really understand. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So turn to your neighbor and say, wouldn't you know, I'm pruned if I do, and I'm pruned if I don't. I told him I'd give him credit. That's an Archie Atkinson statement. We were talking about it. Okay. But we are, if we don't bear fruit, we're pruned. If we do bear fruit, we're pruned so we can bear even more. Think about it this way. If we don't bear fruit, as far as Jesus is concerned, we're like that fig tree. I mean, that's what it is. Okay. Right. But to really understand this, we need to know what it means when he says fruit. I found out it was much more than apples, oranges, or grapes, or watermelons. I mean, I did. Listen to, according to the concordance, in addition to, you know, how we normally define fruit, it's talking about the fruit of one's loins, his offspring. It's talking about that which originates or comes from something. It's the effect of something. It's the fruit. It talks about work, acts, deeds, fruit. Listen to this. To gather like a reaped harvest into life into eternal. And figuratively, fruit is the communication of those who by their labors have fitted souls to obtain eternal life. Jesus expects our character traits to define who we are in Christ, and that our work, acts, deeds, and communication causes souls to come into the kingdom. That's the fruit that he's looking for in those of us that are made in the image and likeness of the Godhead. When they become evident, he prunes us so we can bear even more. So, okay, you go just the way you are, and you get a couple of people born again. And the angels do the dance and everything, and it's great. No, but that's, you know, we say the angels, they're rejoicing, and no, that happens. You know, not like that movie, okay, where Morgan Freeman was God, and it's saying, just do the dance. You know, no, not like that. All right. but he said, Jesus said, greater works would we do because he's gone to the Father. That's significant because he went to the Father. Now he sent the Holy Ghost. Now we're energized. Okay. So we should do even more. Now we're in position. We have the Holy Ghost now to guide us into all truth. So the Holy Ghost is going to tell us, this person, say this. And because we listen, more fruit. More fruit. But that's not going to happen if we don't listen to the Holy Ghost. We're not going to be able to listen to the Holy Ghost if we can't hear the Holy Ghost. We can't hear if we got stuff clogged in our ears, our spiritual ears. So what does God do about it? He prunes stuff away so that we can hear clearly. I'm not going to ask you to stick your fingers in your ears, but you already know what would happen if you do that. Some may hear clearly, some may not. But whatever's blocking it, God is going to prune away because we need to clearly see so we can imitate. We need to clearly hear so we can obey. If we don't clearly hear, we're not going to obey, and we may not know it because we didn't hear it. So whatever's causing us not to hear, he prunes. And it's either or. There's no middle ground. He said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known, one translation says, a tree is known and recognized by its fruit. And if we're not pruned, we're either A, not going to produce any fruit, or B, produce very little fruit. And neither one of those two are representative of be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion, subdue it. There's no in between. John 15:2 in the Amplified Bible says, any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. And it's like, Lord, that means you're always going to be snipping at me. Yes. If he's not snipping at you, you have stopped bearing. And then he's not going to snip anymore. He's going to lop off. You say, well, I don't want to keep being pruned. There was a phrase I was going to introduce to you next week, but he told me to introduce it now. And the way I presented it in Annuette, I'm presenting it to you. Ask you this question. What do you call a vine or plant that never needs any pruning. Yeah, that's one. But there's another word. Artificial. Fake. Phony. Okay, phony. So when you're saying, well, I don't want to be pruned, or you want to be dead or artificial. Because those two, they need no pruning. That's why that verse says he repeatedly prunes. Because you keep bearing fruit. And every time you prune, you bear more. And it's better. Each batch is better than the one before. Can you imagine? It's getting better and better and better and better. Because you keep allowing him to prune you. But here's a problem. How many of you have ever pruned a plant and you looked at that piece you pruned off and you said, you know something? I really don't want to throw this away. So you put it in some water and you reroot it and you replant it. Well, God comes and he prunes some stuff away. And we look at it and we say, I really like this thing. And we take it back. Okay. And we reroot it. And then we plant it, and we plant it where he thinks he can't see it. The problem is, it always shows up in us. Always. And there's another thing that we do. We may not like being totally in this vineyard. So we break ourselves away and reroot ourselves and plant ourselves over here. We call it church hopping. Okay? But for whatever reason, I don't like being all over there. But that's where God planted you. But I like it over here. They're too strict over there. I want to be over here. Okay? We plant ourselves where we want to be. We fail to realize that the soil may not be the same for the type of plant God designed you to be. Because every plant doesn't need the exact same type soil. There's some properties of the soil that could be detrimental to one and very healthy to the other. Who knows that? God. Okay. That's why we need to allow him to plant and stay where he plants us. We're winding down. So we prune, so we don't want to be guilty of rerooting ourselves, no matter the reason. But I want to look at, I gave you the first basic purpose for pruning, to train the plant. I want to touch on this before we close. Again, according to the articles that I read about pruning, training dictates the development and growth. Training dictates. Training doesn't suggest. Training doesn't recommend. Training dictates. I share with the folks in Nanuet, and I'm going to share it with you. When you go into the military, for the first, 8 weeks? They send you to a place called basic training, not basic suggestions. Okay? And you can't go there and tell them how you want things to be done. You can try, and you'll find yourself not only pruned, but confined. Okay? And if you don't give in to that, you find yourself out. Simple. It's this way. But I don't like. I mean, you don't like. I said, it's this way. If you're going to stay here, you're going to go this way. Done. Well, they're too strict. After all, I have my own mind. Okay? I got a brain. I can think for myself. I'm an adult. Okay? Well, since you're an adult, you should understand that you follow the instructions of the pastors that you say God gave you after his own heart? What if they're wrong? What if they're right? I don't feel this in my spirit. Well, maybe you have the wrong spirit. Because if the trainer is wrong, whose job is it to let him know? The Holy Ghost. And then the trainer will come and say, you know something, folks? I apologize. That's not the direction. This is the direction. That's why the Bible says to pray for those in authority. Because our prayers are part of their pruning. Our prayers clear stuff away so that their eyes are not covered and their ears are not clogged. We need to understand that. We don't need to pray that God surrounds them with godly men and women. We don't. Because that's saying if they're not surrounded with godly men and women, they'll never hear God. God doesn't need them surrounded. God needs them seeing and hearing him. So he tells us, pray for them. Why? It prunes stuff away. They'll make choices and they don't know why. But something, that's what I said, something told me. Why is it something? Because it's a voice I'm not familiar with. Why aren't they familiar? Because their ears are always clogged spiritually. But when we pray like God commanded us, all of that stuff gets torn away. They clearly see, they clearly hear. So training doesn't suggest or recommend, it dictates. It emphatically says, this is it. And it does that because the trainer knows exactly what you're going to have to go through. Already knows. And already knows what you need to do about it. And the purpose of the training is that you make that correction immediately. Immediately. Your spirit says, whoa, this is coming. And you're like, done. No one has to stand there and say, Brother Ralph. No, over here. Hello, Ralph, over here. Here, Ralph, this direction. No, the pruning and training is designed that Ralph, he's coming in the Holy Ghost. No, not there. Oh, okay. And he just goes. And we look and say, wow, nothing ever happens to Brother. Oh, he must be one of God's special people. That's what we look at it. God must have a special anointing for him. No, it's the same that he has for everybody. It's just that for whatever reason, he's allowed himself to be pruned so he clearly hears. He allowed himself to be trained so when things come up, he just flows right into what has to happen because he's been trained. That's why training is dictated, because it's designed. So it's designed to make us robots. Yeah, it is. I'm no longer going to say, no, that's not it. Yes, that's it. Yes. We're made in the image and likeness of God, period. And no matter what comes, that's the way we're supposed to act. If you want to call it robotic, it's robotic. But see, some folks will say, oh, you guys are robots. No, I'm not. I can do whatever I want. I mean, that's... Why are we taking the defensive on those things? Okay, you can call it that. Hey... So unpredictable. So is God. He's going to do exactly what he said. And this is what he said. And this is why you need to receive Jesus Christ. Because, yeah, he's going to robotically say, see ya, down. Okay, that's what it is. So stop taking a defense when people say these things. Look at Isaiah 46. Look at Isaiah 46. We're going to go to 48. See, I'm almost done. Just a page and a half to go. Talking about the trainer knowing. Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So God knows exactly what he's going to do. He knows exactly what he's going to happen, and knows exactly what it'll take for us to go through it. He already knows. Psalm 32, verse 8, you don't have to go there. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. God is saying, he will do that. I will guide thee with my eyes. That's what God is saying. I will do this. All you have to do is imitate and obey. And Isaiah 48, 16 and 19 is in the Message Bible. Where this is both an instruction and it even could be a potential rebuke. And now the Master, God, sends me in his spirit with this message from God, your Redeemer, the Holy of Israel. I am God, your God, who teaches you how to live right and well. I show you what to do, where to go. That's what God's saying. I show you what to do. I show you where to go. If you had listened all along to what I told you, your life would have flowed full like a river. Blessings rolling in like waves from the sea. Children and grandchildren are like sand. Your progeny, your offspring, like grains of sand. There would be no end to them, no danger of losing touch with me. None. How do we get that? We let them prune things away. I'm going to close with this. I really am. One of the things we need to understand, because it's become a stumbling block. Pruning, the techniques for pruning vary depending on the species. Every species of vine and plant is not pruned alike. They have different needs. God knows that. It's the same with us. You may require a different pruning, John, than I do, which may be different than you, which may be different than you, which may be different than you. Why are we getting hung up because we're too busy watching how we think someone else should be pruned instead of paying attention to what the Holy Ghost is doing with us individually? And just because he's pruning me a certain way, I don't have the right to go to Deacon Phillips and say, you should be doing this way. I'm not God. I'm not God. He's pruning her for a specific purpose that he has for her. He's pruning me for a specific purpose he has for me. And as we both receive the pruning he has for us individually, we're pruned as a couple. But he doesn't just say, put you both together, okay, and now he starts pruning. He doesn't do that. He prunes us all individually. And I don't have the right to look and judge how he's pruning her. And I can prove that to you by 1 Thessalonians 4. Would you go there? I wish you all had a Message Bible for this one. Okay. Are you there? Let me know when you get there. This is in the Message Bible. I'll take your questions or comments after this. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 and 12. Are we there? Now listen to this. First of all, turn to your other neighbor and say, this is what the Bible says. It's not Pastor Greg's opinion. Okay. All right. All right. Verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 4, the Message Bible. Stay calm. Mind your own business. Okay. Do your own job. You've heard all this from us before, but a reminder never hurts. We want you living in a way. Think about what you shared during the ministry of giving. We want you living in a way that will command the respect of outsiders. That will command the respect of the gates of hell.
Yes.
All right. Not lying around sponging off your friends. Okay? I mean, not being so busy wanting to connect to what he's doing with someone else. No, get in your own space and let him prune you. See, sometimes we think we're so slick that, okay, I know what God needs to do to me, but I'll just hook up here with Deacon Phyllis and just hang out in what he has for her. No. No, 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 no. No. You have to mind your own business. You have to be where he has placed you individually. Because that's where the pruning's going to be. That's where the shears are. The reason we move is we see the shears coming. Then we're like, how many of you remember your gentleman? How many remember your first haircut? You see those clippers coming at you and you're like, no, you're not going to. Don't want to get a cut. And your father, if he's like me, he's just, I told you to hold that head still. You know, and then just crying and crying and crying. No, 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 you got to let those locks be cut. I mean, that's what our son recently, our oldest son recently made a choice to cut off all his dreadlocks because he was finding out that prospective employers are looking at him and dreading. Okay. And he wasn't, we didn't say anything. We didn't say, son, you need to cut your hair. You need to be led by the Holy Ghost, son. No, stop asking this father. Ask your heavenly father, what is it that he wants? And he called me up and he said, you know something? God showed me how my appearance is preventing me from getting employment. And he spoke to his daughter. And she was what daughters do. She was, you know, loving her father and holding it and said, Dad, yes, it's time. And he, being him, he'll tell you a joke, have you rolling all over the floor. He said, well, and if it's time, then you cut him off. He didn't think she was going to do it. She went and came back with some pruning to his and took him like... And then he figured, let me go to the barber and let him finish. And he cut, I mean, he's Mr. Clean now. Cut him off, cut off his beard. Got a job prospect. Got a one that he says is much better than where he was. One he's blessed. Good. Praise God. Go with. Didn't say, I told you so. You never listen to me. No, he doesn't need to listen to me. He needs to listen to his heavenly father. I don't know the end from the beginning. I don't know the end of the beginning for me. So how can I know it for someone else? I can't. All I can do is direct them to the one who does. And that's all I'm doing up here in front of you today. Directing you to the one who knows. He said, I know the thoughts that I have for you. He knows. He knows plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you hope and an expected end. Well, whose expectation? His. Okay. But some things may need to be pruned. And some of the things that need to be pruned are desires. So God said he'd give me the desire of my heart. Yes, he did. We remember that part well. We forget the rest of it. For those that walk uprightly before him. Okay. So if you're not allowing his pruning, how are you going to be upright before him? Therefore, the desires of your heart you will never see. And you'll say, God, your word isn't true. Yes, it is. Well, you said I'd have devoured my heart. Yes, I did. Well, why don't I see it? What's the rest of it? Okay. What's it? Well, in the scripture we just read, let's go back to John 15 for a minute. If you have a question or comment, just come out, get the mic. But let me show you this. in that vein. See, we get excited about the end of verse 7. See, Lord, you said, I can ask whatever I will, and it'll be done. How come it's not done? Well, see, don't pick it up from the middle. Start from the beginning. And we look at them, we go, oh. It says, if you abide in me, and my word abide in you, then ask what you will, and it'll be done. Then. Why? Because now you're two or more in agreement. Okay? But if you don't abide in him, then guess where his word is not? So how come I can't ask anything? Because if his word, if we're not abiding in him, and if his word is not abiding in us, we no longer in the image and likeness of God. And we don't have a right to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over it. In order to experience that, we have to abide in the vine. We have to allow our branches to be pruned by the vine dresser. By the vine dresser. Not your brother, not your friend, not your spouse, not your mother, not your, well, mothers and parents have some vine dressing responsibility. They do. As parents, they do. You know, I didn't like it when I was a child, but we need to understand that. Some parents are vine dressers. But they're supposed to hear from God as to how to prune that precious branch. And not prune it based on the way their mamas prune them. Okay? No, but that's what we do. We'll use that as a benchmark. Either we like what our parents did and we do that to our children, or we don't like it and we neglect to do it to our children. Either way, it could be to their detriment. See, we have to find out as parents and grandparents or uncles and aunts, we have to go to God and say, okay, Father, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Sometimes, guess what he'll tell you? Nothing. And guess what you do? Nothing. You say, well, I got to do something. Well, doing nothing is an action. I mean, sometimes you have to exert sometimes a whole lot of energy to do nothing. If you don't think that's true, put yourself in a position where folks are calling you everything but the name God ordained you to be called, and see how much energy it requires you to do nothing. For you to say nothing. Okay? Just think of the pain you might have to cause yourself just so you don't let those words come out of your mouth. So doing nothing requires a whole lot of energy sometimes. By the smile on your face, so you know what I'm talking about. Because it is one of those things that it's not just me on this one, huh? Okay. But do you understand how pruning is essential? And if we don't allow pruning at all, then we're not going to bear any fruit. And we're going to be cut off. We're going to wither up. And we're going to be thrown in the fire. We were never designed to be kindling of any kind. But if we don't allow pruning, that's just what we'll become. And we will not realize God's original intent for man. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over everything that moves upon it. Everything. And what I'm beginning to understand, when you look at that verse, it doesn't say everything natural. It says everything that moves upon it. That even means spiritual stuff. If it's moving upon the earth, it's in my sights. Period. And I have the right to take authority. I have the right to subdue it. But if I'm not securely in the vine, pruned, that I maintain the original image and likeness of the Godhead, that thing won't have to listen to me. It won't recognize God. I mean, went to a homegoing yesterday, you know, for our brother Roy Carter. He's awesome, awesome brother. I mean, his faith level was such that he said to his wife Thursday before he passed, "Honey, you have to release me and let me go." Wasn't afraid. Wasn't praying, "God, can I have 3 more years? 5 more years? You know, I'd like to see some great-grandchildren. Something." That's it. It's like, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But he wasn't going to do it without his wife's agreement. You know, and she, you know, as they shared during the service yesterday, she didn't say, "What are you talking about? What's going to happen to me? And what about this?" Because her faith is that I know where he's going, and one day I'm going to see him again. What a level of faith that is. See, remember what I said? God had effectively pruned away fear in him. Yes. So when the fear is gone, then you could say, "Death, where's your sting?" I mean, that's like someone going up to you and hitting you square in the face, and you look at him and start smiling. You're like, "That's all you got?" I mean, that's what it is. "That's it? I thought you were bad." I mean, that's... But just to think of just what happens in those cases, stuff had to be pruned away so that he could really go in peace. Full of faith. Full of faith. Because all the other stuff had been effectively pruned away. It has to be to that degree. Death had to recognize the Godhead. Fear was pruned. But when fear is pruned away, guess what's evident? Dominion and authority. That's what it is. How many times were you prompted to say something, but you didn't say it because you weren't sure how it was going to be received? That's fear. That's fear. You're saying that thing has dominion and authority over me. I don't have dominion and authority. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm afraid. That's what it says. And Paul, instead of, I haven't been given the spirit of fear. You take a giant step forward. This is what the Lord told me to tell you. Period. What if they get mad? What if they don't? But what if they do? What if they don't? Well, if they don't, nothing's going to happen. Well, that's the same thing that's going to happen if they do. Because you know who you are, and it's evident. Yes. It's evident. It's just like, I love Christian Academy. No matter what was going on, Mr. Carr would come walking through. And the folks are doing, now I knew they were doing something, but I didn't know what they were doing. And they saw me. Immediately, "Mr. Carr, this is what happened, and this is what they did, and this is what..." Because they recognized this person has authority. And no matter what happens, he's going to find out. So I might as well just, as Pastor Red said, I might as well spill the beans and just divulge everything. You know, throw myself on the mercy of the court. Okay, that's what it is. Because I had authority. Parents at home, you have authority. And if you're conducting yourselves the way God tells you, your children will always, always recognize and respond immediately to your authority. If they're not, there's some things that need to be pruned away. Because they're not seeing the image and likeness of the Godhead. They're just seeing you acting like you've been acting. And they feel they could take some liberties. They could take some chances. I mean, that's what it is. But when we allow that stuff to be pruned away, the image and likeness of God shows up and shows out. And then we understand and we realize what it says in Philippians 2. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee. Why? Because they see it. They hear it. Because anything blocking it, you've allowed to be pruned.